This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. As you've recently heard, in fact, as we've been reporting right here on the Standard, Texas leads the nation when it comes to exonerations. Wrongfully convicted people we're talking about here. Texas may be adding to the numbers of exonerations, and it might come down to DNA evidence. Gabrielle Banks has been following. She's a reporter with the Houston Chronicle. Welcome to the Standard.
Thank you very much.
So courts are now coming out and saying that some convictions based on DNA evidence were a bit overstated. What has changed when it comes to DNA evidence, and what kind of convictions are we talking about here?
Well, what they're talking about is something called mixture DNA. And this is evidence at a crime scene that police will collect where more than one person touched something. It could also be bodily fluid. So it could be a swab that police took from a doorknob, or it could be a vial from a rape kit. The key thing is that it's more than one person's genetic material. So we're not talking about redoing the science. The question they're looking at is how to calculate the odds once they have done the DNA test, once the science is completed. So the new guidelines came in 2010. And basically, they asked crime labs to do their calculations based on fewer facts.
I see.
So only the really reliable bits of information will be calculated. I can give you this really astonishing example from a case in Galveston. The original calculation was that there was a 1 in 290 million chance that somebody had touched a screwdriver. And when they redid the numbers, it was a 1 in 38 chance.
Good night. So now you talk about these new guidelines. Who's promulgating these new guidelines? Are these state guidelines, federal guidelines, industry? What are we talking about here?
There's a working group at the national level. And they come up with national guidelines. In 2010, they set these new guidelines, and nobody really paid attention. Different labs do it differently. And it's a long and complicated tale how they came up with this being a problem. But it came to light this spring, and Texas started doing something to undo the damage.
In the article, in fact, that you did for the Chronicle, you mentioned that Texas is leading the charge in scrutinizing these cases. Why is that?
Texas agencies usually battle over the facts in court, and it's sort of this rare situation where they're working together. There's been a willingness among prosecutors, defense lawyers, judges, crime labs to dig down and figure out who might be affected and to try to fix it. Texas Forensic Science Commission hit some serious road bumps when it got started, and they are leading this effort, as well as they're looking to this expert, Bruce Bedoli at UNT, who audited the DC crime lab and realized that this was a problem.
Hmm.
Also, district attorneys, judges, and defense lawyers are all part of combing through all the old cases. They're looking at samples and matching them to current cases and adjudicated cases and trying to let defendants know if their cases had this mixture DNA.
That is remarkable given Texas's, reputation for being tough on crime and locking them up. And at least that's the sort of the stereotype about Texas. I'm guessing this now means, though, that in fact, a lot of cases will be up for review. Has anyone estimated what we might be looking at in the wake of these new calculations?
They're talking about thousands, maybe tens of thousands of cases that might be affected. Just to give you a sense, the crime lab in Tarrant County identified 3,400 samples. This is one of five labs mm-hmm. that they use there.
Mm-hmm.
Police filed charges in only 300 of those 3,400 cases. And after combing through all the stuff and doing their due diligence, the Conviction Integrity Unit for the Tarrant County DA only sent out 13 notices to defendants. Now, in those 13 cases, it may turn out it really wasn't even a factor. In this Galveston case, the screwdriver ended up not even being a factor in the homicide. The guy had the defendant who ended up being convicted of homicide said that he did the crime in self-defense. So the screwdriver wasn't a factor. But people are just starting to understand this mixture DNA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the screwdriver was kind of this perfect example for people trying to understand how big of a difference it could make to a jury.
Gabrielle Banks is a reporter for the Houston Chronicle. She's been following the story of DNA evidence revisited. Gabrielle, thanks so much.
Thank you.